If you have your Bibles, please turn to Psalm 16, verse 11. That's Psalm chapter 16, verse 11. And as you guys know, we're closing out our Keep It Real series this morning, and then we're going to start a whole new series. We're excited to introduce the theme for this coming year. We're excited to really embark on the things that God has for us. And we believe that it's good things, and we're excited for that. So all of you who are here for the very first time, we welcome you, and we pray that as you check out different churches, and as you have come today, that God will convict your hearts, and maybe allow this to be your church home. So we're excited for all of you to join us in that way. So let me just start off with a question, and it's simply this. I'm wondering how many of us in this room, we were excited at one point for something, or maybe something that you've kind of possessed, something that you had, it was brand new. And then after several weeks, you either got bored with it or the excitement kind of diminished. I'm wondering how many of us have been in that kind of situation. Well, I think we experience this all the time in our lives. I think it could be a new gadget. I know there's another one that's coming out. Some of you are going to spend a ridiculous amount of money just to get it. If you read the reviews, there's nothing that great. You want them to recognize your face. Take a picture and you can see yourself, okay? I won't mention any products here. But the new gadgets, we have to get it all the time. Even if we purchased one a year ago, we need a new gadget. And then after a while, we get sick and tired of it. Or after a while, a newer version comes out. I think about the start of a new semester. Do you know how many people make all these promises and commitments, and they're going to do so much better this coming year than they did last year? And it's exciting because new classes, you go there and you realize that this might be the year that I can actually boost up my GPA. That's why in the beginning, in the first week of September, when you look at many of these students, they're so excited. But just wait until October. And even in November, you will see them completely saying, I hate school. Think about some of us here who are working. And do you remember your first job? Do you remember when you got that new job? Yeah, you do. You know why? Because you went to work on time. Can you imagine? You literally woke up several hours before getting ready. You went to your office, sat in your desk, put all the pencils and everything all lined up really nice. Put all your little photographs and a little motivational Monday kind of stuff that you stick on your little cubicle. And now we're dreading getting up in the morning on Monday. You know, this is us. This is who we are. We get excited about something right away, and all of a sudden, after a while, we get bored. And it loses a sense of that joy that we have. I think there's nothing more telling about the condition of our hearts than a New Year's resolution. Turn to somebody next to you and ask them, do you remember your New Year's resolution? Let me just say, we are in the 8th to 9th month of this new year. And I will have to say that I made some resolutions, and I'm kind of embarrassed to share it, but I'm going to share it, and I'm going to put myself out there. I read an article, and those of you who might know, usually when I read, I get really inspired. So I was reading this article, and I got really inspired because this guy literally did about 150 push-ups a day. And he did 100 some sit-ups a day, and he just started doing it every single day for the whole year. And he said it literally transformed his life. Now, I don't know about his body because we didn't see a before after, but really being disciplined and doing something that he didn't want to do, but he kept on doing. So I got really inspired by that. So I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do 50,000 push-ups and sit-ups in the year of 2017. I was really excited. And then also, because I want to make a commitment to also learn Mandarin, and I know some of you, why not Cantonese? Praise God, those of you who are local Hong Kong, all I know is you have a gift that's from the Lord. But I'm very smart in this way. Would I want to learn a language with 9 tones or 4 tones? I mean, you do the math and you'll see who's smarter, right? So I just decided, I'm going to learn Mandarin. There's 4 tones. It's hard as it is to learn a new language, but I'm going to learn Mandarin. So I decided to download this app on my phone. And on this app, you kind of do your lessons, and I committed to doing 5,000 minutes a year. That was my commitment. Let me just kind of update you on how I'm doing. Like I said, this is a time of confession, and please do not judge me, because right now I keep a record of how many I'm doing so that I could at least keep up. So here are my resolution. 50,000 push-ups within this year. I am currently at 45,950. That I need to go more. Thank you for the confidence. So as I was sitting there and doing the math and trying to figure out how many months and weeks and days have passed by, I realized I have roughly, with the amount that I've accomplished, I have done about 15 push-ups a day, which is not much. And then as I did the math again, I realized I have about 450 per day to go for the rest of the year. I was going to say I cannot eat until I do the push-ups, but I realized that might not work. So I don't know if it's going to be done. Sit-ups, right now, all I can say is I have accomplished 4,100. So I have 45,900 more to go. I'm a little embarrassed about my putonghua because I put in here I'm going to do at least 10 minutes a day. And I was supposed to do 5,000 minutes for the whole year, and I've only done, I don't know if I want to say this. How about, I'll just say it this way. I have this many more to go. 4,730. So if you do the math, you realize I've only done 270 minutes. Why am I sharing all this? Because as you know, once again, it is so easy to get excited to do something, but oftentimes in the follow through and the joy of doing something is no longer there. I wanted to show you this quick video because it's kind of on the same vein, and I thought it was a little bit humorous, because I think many of us can kind of relate to some of these New Year's resolutions that we have made and challenging us, once again, how our hearts are so fickle, because we start off with good motives, good hearts, we want to do great things, but then at the end of the year or at the end of the day, we realize that we fall short. So let's watch this together. I don't think he's going to kill that one. Like I said, I think all of us can confess. We start off things very excitedly, and at the end, we realize that without the follow-through, we can't finish. I think a big part of it is just losing the motivation, and that causes us to lose focus on the goal. And I think this is where we slowly start losing that kind of desire or the appeal of that thing in the beginning that helped us to get excited about it slowly begins to wane out. I'm going to finish off today, as I mentioned earlier, our series. And just as a way of review, I want to make sure that we're all on the same page, because I'm going to talk about enjoyment and what it really means to have an everlasting enjoyment in things in life, so that we don't just keep on going back and forth and getting excited and then losing that excitement, but how do we continue to find this enjoyment in God and God alone. So let me just go ahead and review so that those of us who are here for the first time, we can at least understand what we were covering. We talked about The last 3 weeks, we've been talking about what it really means to keep things real. And I mentioned that in a city like Hong Kong, that it's so easy to kind of externally make ourselves look a certain way. But then deep inside, there are a lot of things going on. And one of the best ways and the best context in order to experience this real life is to be able to experience it in life group. And so that's why we use that word life and we use the acronym to describe different traits. Some of you who are already in our life groups, you have, which is our small group ministry, you have already went over some of these things as you were forming your name and your covenant. And so I want to review it again. The L is for love. And we talked about that it is important in a biblical community that we want to experience this genuine love from God and also from one another as we begin to love one another. We talked about in the second week, the I, which is the investment. And we talked about how in a biblical community that we want people to make investments in one another with our time, our treasure, our talents. Everything that God has given us, it's not for ourselves. It's for us to be a blessing to other people as we make investment in other people's lives. It's about the joy of giving as well as to receiving in our lives. Last week, I talked about the F, which stands for faith, and how in a biblical community, we want people to experience more of God's power. You know, we live in a generation where we want to believe in the supernatural. And we want to believe that God is powerful enough to transform not only our lives, but the situation that we're facing, that God will come and meet us in a powerful way. That's why part of faith in a life group is to be able to pray together and pray for one another, to begin to believe. Sometimes when you don't believe, that someone else can believe for you to say that I believe that God can work in your life. And today we want to talk about enjoyment. So let me give us the one thing as we start off here, that simply this, in God's presence, we can find the true essence of enjoyment of life. So in God's presence, we can find the true essence of enjoyment of life. I'm going to just read this one verse. And I know a lot of times I preach off a narrative or maybe a longer passage, but this passage in one verse kind of summarizes this idea of enjoyment, and I want to make sure we capture this. So let me go ahead and read, first of all, this passage. It says this, in Psalm 16, verse 11, in the ESV, it says this, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." We're going to go ahead and look at this passage here. There are two things I'm going to mention that will help us to remember how in God's presence we can find the true essence of enjoyment in life. The first point is this, that true enjoyment is experiential. It is something that you have to experience. You know, those of you who might not be familiar with the book of Psalms, it's written, a good portion of it is written by King David, that we see in the Bible. And here it appears that David wrote this psalm because he was facing some great danger or some kind of opposition during his reign as king. We're not really sure, but whatever the situation, we see David coming to this realization that true joy comes when we are in fellowship with God. Let me just pause here and just make some introductory comments. I will say this, every single one of us in this room, you will face difficulties in your life if you're not already facing some of those difficulties. We live in a world that's filled with sin. We live in a world with sinners and people who sin against one another. And there will be many moments in your life, if you could just take a snapshot, and moments of your life where you will go through some extreme pain. You will go through a lot of difficulties and a lot of suffering and a lot of just unwanted things in your life where you're thinking, this is not what I asked for in life, but you're going to go through it. And so you need to prepare yourself to look ahead and realize that even though right now some of you, life might be great, but as you look ahead, there will be more challenges and difficulties that are coming your way. And the question that I have for us is simply, as we face some of these difficulties, how do we have this joy? How are we to enjoy life? What kind of perspective do we need? And that's why we have to remember that the Christian faith is something that must be experienced and not just in theory. We have too many people who have grew up in the church and they know a lot of information, but they have never experienced God personally in a powerful way. Now, that doesn't mean that you didn't go to that retreat or you weren't part of that life group. You were. You went to those things. You've experienced God to some extent. But I'm talking about an everyday personal relationship with Jesus Christ where you're able to say, I've encountered Him. I've experienced Him through all the ups and downs. And at the end, I can still conclude that He's faithful and that He's good. I think this is the reason why we have to find enjoyment in our relationship with Christ. I'm going to specifically talk about two things that we notice about experiencing this true enjoyment and why it has to be experiential, something that we have to go through and experience. The first is this, that God shows the way. I'm so thankful that we don't have to do things on our own. A lot of us, we're trying so hard to try to find the right answer. And I'm telling you, time and time again, when you look at the scriptures, it's God who will show you the way. David says, "You make known to me the path of life." It's such an important note that the path of life is revealed by God. You make it known to me. I'm wondering how many of us are on a path, but you have not sought the Lord, or that is not the path that God has revealed to you, because you didn't even pray. You didn't even seek after God. So here you are on this path and you don't even know what path you're on until it ends in a very bad way or even towards a dead end. I think for some of us in here, we get the paralysis of analysis. And you get that when you have too many choices. Now, you don't have to raise your hand, but I'm wondering how many of you have a hard time deciding what to eat and where to eat. If you ever hang out with your friends, you know that dilemma that happens all the time. So like, oh, you want to eat? Yeah, let's have lunch. Okay, cool. I'll meet you over. And all of a sudden, as the time gets closer, where do you want to meet? You know how it goes. And you're like, and then the other person goes, I don't care. I'm up for anything, wherever you want to eat. And then here you are frustrated because you were hoping that that person would tell you, right? And brothers, let me give you a little advice, especially those of you who are single. Women, they want you to make the decision. Now, please, that doesn't mean, woman, we're going to eat ramen every single day. No, that's not what I'm saying. They like to be asked what they would like to eat. And if they say anything to this effect, it doesn't matter. I don't care. It's up to you. You could decide. Anything like that, brothers, you know what they're saying? Be a man. No, they are saying, go make the decision and I will trust you. Just a little advice. Because if you go, well, I don't know. What do you think? They're going to be like, ah, and they're going to probably go crazy. I don't know why I'm giving this helpful hint, but let me give you another helpful hint. If you're still kind of confused, give them genres of food. Are you in the mood for Chinese, Japanese, Italian, like American? Just, you gotta give them categories. And they're like, oh, you decide. Then you better hurry up and decide. So I always have a go-to. Something that I could always eat anytime. You wake me up 4 a.m, I'll still eat that. So you always have to have a go-to. Some of us, when you think about this analysis of paralysis or paralysis of analysis, sorry, I got that backwards. Not only deciding, but when you come to college, those of you who are college students. I mean, when you think about the number of societies there are and the clubs that you have to try to choose. Some of you, I'm still trying to understand, you just sign up for everything. I don't know whether you just like emails coming in your box or a WhatsApp group or whatever the case. You just Facebook everybody because you just want to know everybody because you want to get to that 5,000 limit and then you're going to be like a fan page. I don't know what it is, but you just want everybody on your thing. And all I can say to you is this, those of us who are college students. You have so many choices that after a while, you're going to come to the realization that just filling your life with a lot of things will not bring the true joy and the enjoyment of life that God has destined for you to enjoy. You have to understand that decisions in your life is really the trajectory of where you will be. The things that you choose, the things that you're going to do. And I think this is the principle that Jesus taught when he was challenging people to enter through the narrow gate. Listen to what it says. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14 in the NIV. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to what? Everyone say it. To life. This is the path of life. And only a few find it. Listen to the Message translation of that verse. Or these verses, it says this, don't look for shortcuts to God. See, this is us. We have all these choices and all these paths before us, and we're trying to find these shortcuts. How can I get to God in this most convenient and more comfortable way? The market is flooded with surefire, easygoing formulas for a successful life that can be practiced in your spare time. Pretty much that's what we want. We want God, but we want him on our own terms. We want to experience God's power, but only in our spare time when we have enough time after we do all the things that we want to do. That's the path that we're choosing. And here's Jesus saying, don't choose that path because that path is very wide and there are many people on this path and it's going to lead to destruction. Choose the narrow road, the narrow path that will lead to life. Don't fall for that stuff, he says. Even though crowds of people do, the way to life, to God, is vigorous and requires total attention. You got to give your 100%. That's why as you're thinking about God's presence and how does that kind of help me to find this truth, the essence of enjoyment of life? Well, you got to experience it. And part of it is that God is showing you what that life should be like. And it's not going to be easy. This is why we have to trust in God and allow him to lead us and guide us rather than trying to choose our own path. You know, some of you right now are in the middle of a decision or you have to make a decision on something. And a lot of times it's just easy not to make a decision. But do you know by not making a decision, that is a decision? Some of you really know that you have to make a decision and it's stressing you out. You can't even go to sleep. And to you, all I can say is when was the last time you actually prayed about the decision before you made it? You know, we trust in ourselves. That's why in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. David says what? God, you have made known to me the path of life. You show that, you reveal that. And a lot of times for some of us, we don't see it. We don't know it. That's why we have to trust in God, to pray, lean on, not on our own understanding. Listen to what the NLT says. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you. Here we see that again. He will show you which path to take. Listen to the Message translation. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice. To listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go, he's the one who will keep you on track. How about us this morning? I'm wondering if some of us are trying to find our own paths or pave our own road rather than trusting in God. That's why you have to experience God. You have to experience his presence. Know that he's with you and he's leading you and guiding you. Another part of experiencing this true enjoyment is you have to understand not only will God show you that path, but we see here in the next phrase that God supplies the joy. He's the one who's going to supply the joy in your life. We notice David says what? In your presence, there is fullness of joy. Listen to what the NIV says. You will fill me with joy in your presence. I like that translation because what it's saying is this, that he's going to do something as we are in his presence. That's why God works powerfully at times in like worship. There are times when God works in a mighty way during life group when we're just gathered together and we are in his presence praying together. There's a reason why. And even afterwards, we leave that place and our hearts are so full and we're wondering, wow, there's so much joy in my heart. It's because once again, we have been in his presence. We have been seeking after God. That's why I don't know how many of you have ever like did something that was very leisurely. And after doing it for many, many hours when you thought you were only going to do it for 1 hour, but you ended up doing it for 4 hours, Netflix, Xbox, you know, all the things that come in, social media. Like how many of us, instead of being energized and feeling this great sense of joy, we literally get more drained? Don't raise your hand, but I'm wondering how many of you have ever encountered that. So you were going to just kind of relax a little bit, but as you're relaxing, you got more drained. Because a lot of times when we do things, we just do it just for ourselves rather than acknowledging God, being in his presence. And there are things that we can do that when you do it in the name of the Lord and you do it in his presence, it's a powerful thing. There have been times when there are neutral things, whether playing sports or whatever it may be. And if I just do it with this mindset like, yeah, I'm just going to play because I'm going to get some exercise. There are times when I don't really find this joy in doing that. But you know what? When I do any kind of sporting activity and I'm doing it with a bunch of people that I know the purpose behind it is to really build community and to encourage one another. I want to get to know some of these brothers. When I have that kind of mindset, even though I'm exercising, I'm telling you, even, I don't get tired. Because once again, it is a complete shift in my mind of why I'm doing what I'm doing. Part of the experience of genuine faith is to know the importance of God's presence. Now, God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. But we're able to experience his presence through everyday things. You know, as I thought about my life, at different stages of my life, I would have these places that I would go to, especially when I was just either very down or maybe very discouraged, or I just felt overwhelmed. And I just knew I needed to be away just to be spending some time in God's presence. And one place that during my college years that I will never forget, I mean, if you ever have an opportunity to visit the States and you're in Illinois and near University of Illinois, this is one of the most beautiful parks. It was literally a mansion, kind of like an estate owned by this person, Mr. Allenton. And so he donated. And now it turned into a park. And now they have weddings and all this stuff. It's a beautiful place. Let me show you some pictures. This is Allenton Park. And it was a little bit of a drive, hour or so away. But still, I would sometimes go there because during one of my years in college, it was probably the most difficult year of my life. It was really, really hard. And so this is where I just began to just say, you know what? I'm going to get away. I just want to be in his presence. Because all the other stuff around me, it's not only distracting, but I realized that it's weighing hard upon me. And I just didn't find the joy. I didn't know why I was doing what I was doing. And so I needed to get away in his presence. And so this is part of Allenton Park. And it's beautiful. Like I mentioned before, it was just, they kept it really well. And it used to be a former estate. Here's some other pictures that they had. I mean, it was just kind of, you could go into these gardens. You just explore. It was powerful. And just being there, the smell, the sight, you just felt as if God was so near. God was so close. Here's another picture. They had all these different like statues and things, and you could just walk around. And it was beautiful. And I don't know how many of you know, but this is where we got our logo, our church logo with the ripple. God spoke to me in one of those times I was spending time in his presence, that he just spoke to me about the ripple, that if I can just submit myself and give all myself to God, that I will be that first drop and it will send out ripples and touch nations. That was the revelation that God gave because I was in his presence. That was during college. And then I entered into seminary, graduate school. And I'm telling you, undergrads here, you think your studies are hard? Just wait until you get to grad school. They don't really have any exams. It's just that one paper or that one project. And, you know, it was very difficult because not only was I in school, but I was serving at a church. And literally on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, in these 3 days, I worked close to 40 hours just in these 3 days. And Monday morning hit, I'll put up my bag and just kind of like put my head down and I'll be dead. Because by the time I got home and trying to do my homework, all that stuff, it was crazy. And so I was struggling. And there are several times within that three-some years of grad school that I thought I wasn't going to make it. And so what I did was I had to get away. And one of the places that I would go to quite often is Northwestern University. And we have some grads here, some alumnus or alumni from there. And so this is in Evanston, Illinois as well. This is where my parents live, or they live about 20 minutes away from here. And they call this just kind of like the rocks, where the rocks are, the beaches. And a lot of times people will write different things on the rocks, as you can tell there. But it was one of those things where I had to go there quite often just to get away because I needed to be in his presence. Because of all the stress and all the different things and all the things that were weighing heavy on my heart. And one of the good things about this side of the picture of this Northwestern beach is that over here you see the skyline of Chicago. And at nighttime it's beautiful. It's all lit up there. And so, you know, just to go there and just to sit and just to pray. And I'm telling you, there were some times I was thinking, I'm just going to jump in. I'm like, this is like, you know, overwhelming. I'm like, I give up, Lord. But I had to wrestle with God. I was in his presence. Here's another picture from another angle. You can see a better skyline there. And so I see the Willis Tower there. Praise God. Why am I sharing all this? Because if you really understand the true enjoyment of life, which God has destined for you as a follower of Christ, is that he is making known, he is showing you where this path is. We're just not listening. Not only that, but as I mentioned, he's the one who will supply the joy. You don't get it from all this other stuff or other people. You get it from God. That's why some of us who are struggling right now, those of you who are just wrestling with just emotional things, some of us right now may be feeling like, do I really want to live this Christian life? Some of us who might be feeling like life is just too hard. My challenge to you is this. Before you give up, to go somewhere and be in his presence, and to let him show you the path of life. And not only that, but let him be the supplier of the joy that you need so you can go on. Now, right now, I haven't found anything like that in Hong Kong. But I know that there are some different little islands all over. There's a peak you can go up to. I realized that in the island, in the city, there's a little garden area right in the middle of the city amongst all the concrete jungle. And so there's so many different places. There are places in some of the school. I went to HKU several weeks back, and then I was being introduced to different places. And there's this one place that had a view of the whole city, and it's kind of elevated up. And just being able to find different places where you can be in his presence. Put on your headphones or whatever you need and listen to some music if you listen to Kendrick Lamar, it might be tough, but I mean, just listen to some music where it praises to God and to be able to just be in his presence, hear his voice. Let him show you the path of life and let him be the supplier of the joy in your life. Some of you are like, Pastor, you don't understand. I wish I can go out. My lunch hour is not even an hour. By the time I go up to that park, it's already the hour. So I don't know what to do. And to you, I will say this. I really feel like those of us who are really busy, and you know, I was talking to some pastors about this because I went to this international pastor gathering, and we're just talking about just busyness of life and how our members are so busy. And we just concluded that for some of us, busyness is like a badge of honor. So you ask them, how are things going? Oh, busy, 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 busy. And then everyone's supposed to be like, ooh, you're so awesome. No, because we're looking at you and we're like, I have nothing to say to you. You're busy because you're making yourself busy, because you're insecure, because you're trying to move up the corporate ladder, because you want certain things, or you want that grade, or whatever. And I'm not saying those things are bad, but those of us who are busy, busy all the time, I would challenge you that whatever you're pursuing after, whether it might be in your career, it might be something in your GPA, or maybe in your graduate program, whatever it is that's causing extracurricular activities, things that you enjoy doing, whatever it is that's making you busy, my challenge to you is simply, are you in His presence? Are you spending time at least being in His presence? So that even though you are busy at times, and sometimes it comes seasonally, that you are in His presence so He can show you the path and to be the supplier of your joy. So those of us who are saying, Pastor, I just don't have the time to get away for a couple hours and go to the park or do something. My encouragement to you is this. Just think about all the simple ways you can experience God's presence. The MTR. Do you know why I love to use MTR illustrations? Because every single one of you have been on an MTR. Or you will be on an MTR in about an hour. So listen carefully. Have you ever been on the MTR, the station, and it was just one of those moments, it was like a perfect storm when everything came together. As soon as you left that one train, the cross the platform, and the train just came. You didn't even have to wait. You might have to hustle a little bit because everyone else is hustling. These grandmas are like, I get out of my way. So you're like, oh, okay. But you know what I'm saying? It's just like the door opens up, and then all of a sudden, as you're walking out, the train just comes, the one that you have to get on, the connecting train. It just opens up, and you're like, oh, my God. You don't think like that. You're like, I'm so lucky. There's no luck in Christianity. Okay, do not say luck. So when you think of like, I'm always like, praise Jesus. I'm walking and I'm like, praise Jesus. I don't have to wait. And as soon as you get on that train and you go on one more connection, as soon as it comes to stop, the other door opens and you're like, you are here, Lord. You are here. Like even something simple as that, that's just to acknowledge that He's with you. His presence is there. Some of you at work, you know, there are moments when nothing works. there are moments when all your coworkers never get their things done. So it causes you to get delayed. But do you know those moments at work when everything just flows so nicely? Like in those moments, you have to say, God, this is not me. This is you. Some of you at school, when your exam gets postponed, what do? Ah, awesome. Why don't you turn the ah into worship. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, those are things where you're experiencing His presence, His goodness. It could be a simple thing as a beautiful sunset. Those of you who pull all night, a beautiful sunrise. Or sometimes after a rain, you see a rainbow. Like those are just reminders that God's presence is with you, that He's showing you the path, and He's going to be the supplier of your joy. The second and last point is simply this. True enjoyment is not only experiential, something that you experience, but true enjoyment is everlasting. David mentions that at the right hand of God, there are pleasures forevermore. The NIV says, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. And this is a very important concept you need to understand. Too often, I think for many of us, we think about the pleasures of here and here on this earth, and we forget that it's temporary. Now you need to understand any pleasure that you're able to experience, that's God's creation and that's goodness. That's why for me, when I eat good food and it's very pleasurable to my palate, and I'm like, I'm always praising Jesus. I always tell people, I'm a believer now. There must be a God that created this person, the chef, to come up with these ingredients and put the flavors together to create this kind of dish. And that was going into my mouth and I feel it exploding with flavors. And I'm thinking to myself, God is alive. I know some of you don't think like that. Some of you are probably looking at me like, this guy's really weird. But any pleasure that you're able to experience on this earth is because of God. And that's why a lot of times when we put all of our focus on just the pleasure alone and not in the person who created or who are giving you the ability to appreciate those pleasures, then what happens is that simply that we come to a point where it will never satisfy us. Because those things alone cannot satisfy. I'm just wondering how many of us in this room are trying to find satisfaction or fulfillment from the things of this world. Just look at your life. Throughout a given day, throughout this past week, what was it that you were engaged in that that's where you're trying to find satisfaction and fulfillment? And I will tell you, if it's anything that's apart from Christ, it's going to leave you empty. That's why you need more of it. That's why when you don't have it, it kills you. That's why when you don't get it when you want it, you get impatient. Because none of these things can fully satisfy except for Christ and Christ alone. Listen to what Matthew Henry said in his book, Exposition of the Old and New Testament. He writes this, "Our pleasures here are transient and momentary, and such is the nature of them that is not fit they should last long. But those at God's right hand are pleasures forevermore. For they are the pleasures of immortal souls in the immediate vision and the fruition of an eternal God." This is really important. Because what he's simply saying is this. All the pleasures here on this earth, they're just temporary. They're transient. They're going to come and go. That grade that you got, that promotion that you got, that new whatever you got, the gadget, they're transient. They're going to come and go. But what he's emphasizing is this. But we are immortal souls in the sense that we were created for eternity. That's why the immediate vision of who God is and this eternal God is the only thing that will fill our hearts that are created for eternity. This is what King Solomon understood when he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. Listen to what he writes, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 9 through 13. He says this, "What gain has the worker from his toil? I have seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man." Every single one of us in this room, whether you are a believer or not, you were created with eternity in your heart. There's this huge gaping hole. And some of us, we're trying so hard to fill that hole with so many things. More possessions, more degrees, more friends, and more pleasures. And the more you begin to fill your heart with these things, the more you realize it's almost like a bottomless jar. It doesn't collect. That's why there's this almost insatiable desire to want more. You will never be satisfied with anything in this world. Because your heart and my heart, we have been created for eternity. So the only thing that can fill a heart that is set on eternity is an eternal God. Can I get a good amen to that? Amen? Only an eternal God can fill a heart that has eternity set in there. Everything else is just temporary. Only eternal things can give us eternal pleasure. That's why everything that we enjoy is rooted in the eternal God. So therefore, if some of us are able to enjoy friendships, that's God-given. I know some of us, we talked about this past Friday, some of us might not have those good friends and we're longing for that. Be a friend first. We talked about that. But those of you who have good friends who are willing to lay down their life for you, who stick by you closer than a brother, who's like family to you, I'm telling you right now, that is a gift from God. You should be thanking God, praising God, that He has placed this type of person or these types of people in your life. Apart from Christ, you can never fully enjoy it. That's why Solomon continues and he says this, there is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. For apart from Him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? Did you catch that? Apart from God, who can really enjoy the things of life? One of the things we have to remember is that we are able to enjoy eternal pleasures of God as we are in community. That's what we've been talking about the last 4 weeks. To keep it real, to really see your life being transformed, the best way to experience love and the best place to make the investments that are eternal and the place where you can really genuinely experience faith that will turn your life around and even inspire other people to have faith and to enjoy the things of God. The best context that at least I know that I could think of to experience all those things are in life group. And I want to challenge some of us, those of us who are here, maybe you're here for the first time, I want to challenge you to look into life group. Talk to somebody that you came with and ask them about life group. Those of you who were in life group this past year, I want to challenge you. I know that sometimes it's hard because you still have great memories from last year and you want to still be around those people. I want to challenge you that you are blessed to be a blessing. So this coming year, everything you've experienced from God, pour that into your life group now, especially with those people who are new, who haven't experienced it yet. Let them know what it means to be in a part of a community where there's love, investment, and faith, and enjoyment of life, enjoyment of God, and of life together. Those of you who are just starting off, I know right now it might be like, oh, it's kind of cool. Okay, I'll check it out. But some of us are just kind of checking everything out. I want to challenge you to commit to this, not because you're trying to do a religious duty, but if God has convicted you and convinced you that this is the best place to experience love, to make the investment, to experience this life of faith and enjoyment, then you got to say, this is going to be one of my top priorities in life. You know, a lot of people, when I hear that I'm too busy, yeah, you're busy because you have a lot of other priorities. And life will only get busier once you have a family and your kids come along, and it is much busier. That's why you got to start making priorities right now. What are those things that are important? And I believe, I mean, your fencing club, that's important. I know it's important to you. Some of your other hobbies that you have, I'm not saying get rid of them. That's great. But I would definitely say you're not just an intellectual being. You're not just an emotional being. You're not just a physical being. But you are also a spiritual being. And you got to make that investment in your spiritual life. And the best way to do it is in community. True enjoyment has to be experienced. And true enjoyment, if you understand it, is everlasting. And because the true joy that we want to experience is everlasting, we have to get connected to this everlasting God. That's why in His presence, that's when we're able to find the true essence of enjoyment of life. May we get connected in that way. As you think about this, this is the gospel. This is what we've been talking about. That your heart, my heart, there's this huge gaping hole. And here we are filling our hearts with so many things, and it has led us to more We're literally morally bankrupt. We keep on falling short. We sin and leads us to more addictions, and it causes us to turn away from God, to run away from God, to say that I'm going to be the captain of my own boat or my own car. I'm going to run this thing. I'm going to do my own thing. This is my path that I choose. And that kind of life is going to lead you to death and destruction. That's why Jesus Christ had to come into this world. To demonstrate for us not only how much God loves us and loves us still, that he came to show us that all our sins, the past, present, even the future, has been completely paid for because of the blood that was shed for us on the cross. This is the reason why we can even have any enjoyment of life. This is the reason why we can have the joy in the way we live. It's because our sins are forgiven. You got to repent of your sins. You got to ask Jesus to come and forgive you of those things that you have fallen short of God's glory. Turn your life to him. And when you receive him, and you will receive the eternal pleasures that no one else can satisfy, no one else can fulfill in your life except for Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. So once again, the one thing is in God's presence, we can find the true essence of enjoyment of life. I want to quickly give you some practical steps as we leave here. And as you can tell, we're going to be taking communion this morning. And so we want to just bring it all to a close in this series, Keep It Real, and looking ahead to all that God has in store for us. The first thing is this: you have to train yourself to abide in Christ. You have to be in his presence on a daily and a regular basis. One of the things that I suggested to somebody who, as we were talking, because they kept on struggling with different thoughts in their minds, they kept on struggling with just a lot of other issues in their hearts. And, you know, it could be as simple as just little reminders. So you know what I've told them to do? I said, every some hour, set a little reminder on your phone to abide in Christ, to remind yourself of the truth. That's something that's very simple that you can do. Now, please, don't do it every single hour, because you know what you're going to do? You're going to see that you're like, dismiss, dismiss, dismiss. But you know your schedule, and there's key moments when things get hard. And so as you're looking at your schedule, you realize, man, I definitely need one at 11. And then 3 o'clock, because it's like nap time, but I can't nap. You know, I'm getting tired. And I also need it in the evening when I just have to kind of bring everything close, but I'm tired, and I need to abide. Train. It takes training. You don't automatically start abiding in Christ. You don't automatically get into his presence. You got to train yourself. Like anything else in life, you got to train yourself. Set the alarm just like that. Amen. Let us wait as he abides in Christ. You got to train yourself. Second thing is thank God for the blessings. Just practice thanking God. When the MTR comes, right when you get off, don't let me be the only one praising Jesus, okay? Thank Jesus. Thank God. I mean, there's so many different ways you could thank God. I mean, we just don't catch it. If we could just make it more in the forefront of our minds, we can literally say, there is so much to be thankful for. That today, I actually have another day to live. When there's some people in the hospital where they might not be able to survive past today. And when your octopus card goes empty in the negative as you swipe it in MTR, but then you set up an automatic refill, boom, and it goes to 500, thank God that you even have the resources. There's so many things on any given day. Sometimes when I think about climbing up the stairs, I'm always like, oh, stairs. Oh, my God. Can this count for the push-ups or the sit-ups? Lord. You know, I'm thinking, why? Then I quickly look over to my side. I realize there's a person who can't really walk. They have to walk with crutches. Every single day, you can catch something that you could be thankful for. And lastly, take time to celebrate. That's part of the enjoyment of life. It's to celebrate together with people that you love and people that are close to you. That's why in our life groups, we want to celebrate birthdays. That's why in Life Group, not only your physical birthday, we celebrate your spiritual birthday. That's why in Life Group, we try to celebrate different moments where we have praises, time to give praise to God. We celebrate that together. Because the more you begin to celebrate, the more you realize it's God working in us. And we don't receive the glory, we don't receive the credit, but it's God and God alone. Let's stand together as we close. As I mentioned, we're going to take communion. And I wanted to spend some time just to make this a little bit more meditative and also just reflective. If there's anyone who kept it real, it was Jesus. Because he could have saved us in a different way. I hope you understand that. God could have called upon a legion of angels to rescue him. But the way he kept it real was, here's God, the Son of God. And then he decided to come to a world full of sin, sinful people. He could have destroyed them, but he lived among them. The Bible says the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and it dwelled amongst us. He lived amongst us. That's why he was hungry. He was thirsty. He knows the pain of betrayal, the kiss of death, if you will, as Judas kissed him and then he was then crucified. He not only understands everything you're going through, but that much more. This is the gospel message. And I don't know how many of you see it, but we have this huge hole, this vacuum. Because Christ has set eternity in our hearts. God has put eternity in our hearts, and we're trying to fill it with so many other things. And only Christ can fill it. You're trying to fill it with your studies. You're trying to fill it with your work. You're trying to fill it with your friends. Other things to numb your pain, and it will never fully go away. You're going to want more, and you realize nothing will ever satisfy. That's why I think some of you need to be maybe brokenhearted, hurt, go through difficulties for you to realize there's no one else in this world that I desire except for Jesus and Jesus alone. And maybe that's when we come to a point in our lives where we humble ourselves and we say, this cross, Jesus, you kept it real because the blood, the flogging, you went through all this pain so that we could have life. I'm just praying for our church that we'll be a church that can really experience the love of God. And part of that is being able to be in a community that shares this love, makes the investment, has the faith and faith for one another, and enjoying life together. See, we enjoy God because there are pleasures forevermore at the right hand of God. But as we're enjoying the presence of God, we're able to enjoy each other's presence. Wouldn't that be awesome? Every single Tuesday or every single Wednesday, that's the highlight of your day. As the evening comes, you're like, I can't wait to go to Life Group. Because I get to see my spiritual family. I get to see people who know me, who cares for me, who wants to walk with me. But that's not always the case for some of us. We're walking in late. We're constantly just kind of, our minds are all over the place. We sit down. We can't even focus. Let's make Life Group a priority this year. And let's believe by faith that we're going to experience tremendous things together. And I can't wait until we celebrate all together as a church. But you guys can do it in Life Group ahead of time. Especially when someone comes to know the Lord. When someone gets baptized from your Life Group. When a new person gets invited and there's an open chair and we're like, yes, you sit right there. We've been waiting for you. This is your chair. We've been saving it for you. people who are hurting or people who are in the need of a miracle, they come to the middle and you just lay your hands on them. You cry out to them because you love them. You're making the investment of your prayers. You're having faith to believe that God is going to do something in their life. And then you see God answer that prayer. Do you know what that's going to do to that person's life? Do you know what it's going to do to your life? Do you know what it's going to do to your life group? A lot of us don't experience the joy of celebrating of all that God is doing because we don't do the things that can produce those things. I'm not calling out the leaders, but if some of your leaders are not doing those things, say, why can't we do those things? I don't know, but in a loving, respectful way. Awesome Highness Leader, can I ask you something? Very important question. Why are we not praying for the miracles? Why aren't we praying for God to do some stuff? Come on, let's believe. Let's believe that God can do some great things. Father, I just want to thank you just for every single person here. And you know every single one of us so very well. You know all the hurts, you know all the issues, you know all the things we're going through right now. You're not surprised by it. You're not shocked by any of these things because you know who we are. We're sinful people, Lord, that are in desperate need of your mercy and your grace. And thank you, Lord, that you never look at us where we are, but who we're going to become. You teach us what it means to look at someone with eyes of faith and believe that you can transform us. I just ask right now, Lord Jesus, for every single person here, that we will stop filling our hearts with temporary and transient things that come and go, that leave us more thirsty. But I pray that we will drink from the living water. May we not, Lord God, use broken cisterns or broken cups to try to fill this water, but Lord God, that you will enable us to drink from the well deeply, so that we will be refreshed, we will be renewed. I pray, Lord, the hunger that we feel in that spiritual part of our hearts, God, that we will eat of the bread of life so that we will never grow hungry ever again because you will fill us. So come, Holy Spirit, I just pray that we will experience this. Even now as we partake in the communion, we ask, Lord God, that you will remind us of your body and the blood that was shed. And as we take it, may it give us strength to live this life, this real life, this true enjoyment of life that comes only through you and you alone. I feel like the Lord says unto some of you, all of you who are weary, heavy laden, the Lord says to come and lay those burdens down. And he says, take my yoke upon you because it's easy, it's light, and there you will find rest for your soul. Let's just be in his presence. We might not have the lake or the grass or the ocean or the view, whatever it is, but let's create that in our own hearts. Lord, here I stand in your presence. I'm just going to ask us, just for about a minute, not too long, as we prepare the communion table, we just converse with God, spend some time with God. Let him know how you feel. Be real with him. And then turn to him and say, God, fill me up. I turn to you. So just for about a minute, let's just pray and then we'll take the communion.